What about the VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitors, and specifically ZD6474 or Zactima, or there was some data presented at ASCO?
Well, I thought this year at ASCO was good because although we didn't have the blockbuster phase 3 study, we had a lot of phase 2 studies that were interesting. So we saw our first data on sunitinib and sorafenib in lung cancer, not just one or two patients from a phase 1 trial, but dedicated phase 2 studies. We saw two studies with 6474. So I think that Zactima is an interesting drug. I like the concept that it may capture the most sensitive patients for its EGFR effects and yet may have more predominantly a VEGF effect, and therefore may not counteract or have negative interactions with chemo in most patients with non-small cell lung cancer.
What about those data, particularly what was presented at ASCO in terms of sunitinib, sorafenib, and Zactima?
I think one of the most challenging questions is, how does one know whether a anti-angiogenic drug, and of course that's a broad category, is going to be clinically useful in lung cancer based on monotherapy trials? If you look at the prototype bevacizumab, although it hasn't been formally studied, at least anecdotally, there weren't great results seen in phase 1 trials of patients with lung cancer who got this drug. So what signal can we get from early trials of sorafenib or sunitinib that they might be as good, if not better, than, say, bevacizumab? And so to me, certainly the sunitinib trial, we saw a 10% response rate in pretreated patients, was pretty impressive. It was concerning, of course, that there were three deaths, and one question was, are they going to modify their eligibility for subsequent trials based on that? Are they going to make them more like bevacizumab trials? Because I think two patients were squamous, or one was squamous and one had a brain met. So it did sound like a familiar story. Yet that 10% response rate, and perhaps even more importantly, that waterfall plot, where 70 or 80% of patients were on the right side of the x-axis, was really quite impressive to me. Now, sorafenib is a little bit less. The IC50s are a little bit higher for some of the kinases, and in the trial presented by Dr. Gatzmeier, there were no formal responses, although certainly there was some evidence of biologic effect. There were some patients whose tumors cavitated, but the waterfall plot, where you sort of look at everybody's maximal benefit from chemo, was a little bit less impressive. So of the two, I actually was a little more impressed with the sunitinib, and I thought certainly the fact that we saw a reproducible number of partial responses, not one or two, but 10%, you know, not dissimilar from what we saw with some cytotoxics in phase 2 trials in pretreated patients, raised hope that this would have a role in lung cancer at some point in the future.
What about the responses and the clinical data for Zactima?
I think that the Zactima data in the crossover trial with gefitinib were a little disappointing for the gefitinib, that we saw a lower response rate than we're used to seeing. The 9% or so response rate for the ZD6474 is right in line with what you'd expect with monotherapy with an EGFR TKI or a VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitor.
So what was the design of that study?
That was a crossover. You started on one drug and crossed to the other at progression. And the individuals who started with gefitinib actually had, I believe, a little bit longer median survival, I think 7.4 versus 6.1 months, but they had the gefitinib-treated patients had fewer responses. And I actually believe when you looked at all the prognostic data, and I pointed this out to Ron Natale at ASCO, that there were some imbalances in the prognostic factors that were actually in favor of the group that got gefitinib first, i.e. that I thought the Zactima probably looked better in the study. The deck was stacked against the Zactima patients a little bit as far as patient characteristics.
So in terms of actual response rates, the Zactima...
Zactima was a higher response rate.
Do you think we're going to see more studies in lung cancer focusing on tissue, molecular predictors? And are we going to be able to pull these kinds of studies off in people presenting with metastatic disease? Roy Herbst and Ed Kim have an interesting study where they're doing pre- and post-biopsies with biologic agents on board, including erlotinib. Do you think that's a trend that's going to increase? And is that practical?
I think it's incumbent on us in the academic community to come up with hypotheses and or data that are so provocative that everybody will jump through hoops and move mountains to make things happen, to show that that's improving the outcome of the lung cancer patient. So like an EGFR mutation test now, we know we have a response rate of 70 or 80%. That's unparalleled in lung cancer history, so people will want that information.
Do you think we're going to see more studies, you know, doing pre- and post-biopsies in the metastatic setting?
I think certainly at the academic institutions that do research, and then when we find out something that can be translated to the lung cancer patient in the community, then if that's what's necessary for that community venue to be successful and treat their patients successfully, then it will happen there.